Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. We're three astrologers here who meet once a week on the lovely internet, and we talk to you about the lovely shared passion that we all have for astrology, and we take calls from listeners, and we tell you what to expect in the week ahead. So my name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, broadcasting from my bright red desk with a sunburned nose after coming home today from a lovely trip to visit the relatives. And I am joined here by my compadres, Mark.
Mark Waltz, also in New York. And no sunburn.
No sunburn on your nose.
Just a windburn.
And Heather Rowan Robbins with a little frost burn. No, this is Heather Rowan Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota. We actually had 40 degrees today, almost, and got some snow melt. We are thrilled that we can actually see the sidewalks.
The sidewalks still exist under the snow. That's like
they
so
did.
Exciting.
It was such a revelation.
The
there
revelation.
They are again.
Yeah, they are.
So we are actually due to get some 60-degree weather this weekend. And
nice.
A quick heat flash, and it'll go back down, but we're very excited about that.
We like heat flashes, even if they're short and sweet.
At the moment. So.
At the moment, short and sweet heat flashes, they work.
I hear there's going to be some El Nino activity this summer, and I can't say that that's a great for the weather.
That screws up the West Coast, right? That's the one out in the Pacific? Yeah.
Yeah, it screws up all the weather systems globally.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, and we kind of expect with the T-square going that it's going to be wild.
And that T-square continues to build in your chart, as well as in the world around us. So what the T-square is four planets that are having an argument. Three, because it's a T-square, but the fourth planet comes back into it next month when we have eclipse season. So this week, Mercury is very active, and he's talking, he is in Pisces, and he is having an aspect to both Jupiter and Pluto, asking us to understand our dreams, understand our belief about ourselves. He is trining Jupiter today, actually, and he sextiles Pluto, which is a lot about understanding your relationship to power and understanding power dynamics, as well as, you know, Mercury in Pisces tends to have a little trouble communicating directly, but he does communicate through feelings. He communicates through song. He communicates through images, ideas, dreams. And he is very much about the deeper connection to the wordless parts of us, you know, the parts that sometimes we feel very deeply, but we don't have words. And then on Saturday, Venus in Aquarius, after Mercury gets finished hanging out with those guys, Venus in Aquarius comes and she talks to Mars and to Saturn on both on Saturday. And so she has a hard conversation with Saturn, square to him from closing up a Scorpio from when she joined with him in Scorpio. And so they're having a little argument this weekend. So we can anticipate relationship people are going to be asking you to set boundaries, or you're going to be looking to set boundaries in relationships. And then Venus also trines Mars.
Or it'll be all about who's responsible for which part of the budget.
Right, yes, and what did you do and how did you do it, yeah. And then as she talks to Mars, Mars, it's a sextile. So that's much easier flowing where she says to Mars, hey, let's get out of town, let's go do this. And then right behind that, there's a big old new moon at 9 degrees of
Aries. And a big old new moon it is.
And a big old new moon it is, very volatile, very emotional, very dynamic, very active. So it's a big week. So what do you guys think how we can advise our listeners on handling this energy? Mark?
Well, it's actually the Mercury part is nice, and there's a lot of awareness that goes with it. There's an opportunity to sort of have a look at your thinking, and in a difficult way, and then thought processes and the way that you communicate, and you may be able to understand a little bit better how some other people communicate with you, you know. So ask questions, and you'll find that you'll get non-defensive answers. Right? Not the usual, you know, of course that's what I meant, you know. It'll be, I meant this. And here's why I said it that way. Anyway, there's that part. But the Venus-Saturn square, that's usually a little tough. And it also, it can actually spell some tough news about budgets. You may feel that there's a restriction on mm-hmm. what's in your wallet. So, you know, face that. Let it be realistic, and maybe you'll figure out a way to fatten the wallet if you accept that you have to work with it. And, you know, then there's that new moon, and hopefully it's going to bring in a little spring, actually.
Yeah, well, that would be nice. I mean, it certainly will
yeah.
bring in the spring rebellion.
Yeah.
And because the new moon is going to be at 10 degrees, and that's only 2 degrees away from Uranus. So it's very highly energized time. And the new moon in Aries every year, to me, is even more than the sun going into Aries. That first new moon in Aries is the beginning of next year's cycle.
Right.
So it is an action-packed time. Now, the Pluto-Uranus, Jupiter, T-square,
yeah.
already I have been worried about geological activity this spring. And, you know, I'm hoping there'll be lots of little earthquakes. And Yellowstone is showing a lot of little earthquakes this spring. But and if there's lots of little ones, and we don't have the great big buildups. But I hadn't occurred to me when I wrote about that last week that we might also see mudslides like we saw, mm-hmm. which is geological activity, but it's not from the shifting plates. But it does bring up that, you know, although most of us are safe, weird stuff is going down. A plane disappeared. How many planes landed safely all over the world that day? So it's not something that we have to really, you know, we can count on strange things happening to us. But that mudslide really came out of nowhere for most of the people involved. And the earthquake and the airplane going down. So just kind of keep your eyes open for the unexpected. It feels like this whole year, and it's not about being paranoid. It's about being aware mm-hmm. and dropping your assumptions.
Right.
So when you think you know what's going to happen, you don't always pay attention. So it's in a matter of alertness and awareness so that we can catch and work with and use the energy well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that it will bring very good changes as well as these kind of strange ones. But if you can feel that unexpected quality of the energy coming, picking up.
Right. And I think the whole concept of living in the unexpected is something mm-hmm. that we often get very anxious about. We like to, you know, we like our predictability. We know we're going to have our bagel in the morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we know where our coffee is coming from. And then when there's this element of unexpected, it makes everybody very nervous. And it also reminds us, you know, one, how big the damn ocean is, that you can't find a plane, mm-hmm. and two, that even though we think we know how the world works, there still is the opportunity for surprises. There mm-hmm. still are things that go astray. And living in that state of what's possible is, I think, part of the message of this time. It's like, well, what's possible? Well, what would you like? Let's shift towards that reality. Let's move that. Let's come up with a new place. And, yeah, my uncle pulled up on radar.com, you know, all the planes that are flying up and down the eastern seaboard right now. And then, of course, at mm-hmm. night, I said, well, there aren't any planes at night. And they both, you know, he goes, oh, no, that's when all the Federal Express and all the commuting flights that carry packages fly. I'm like, mm-hmm. ooh, wow. But, you know, you go look at that website, you know, and you look at the air traffic and you click on a little plane and it tells you who it is and how far it's going and where it's going to be landing. And we think of this as a mapped out world, but strange and unusual things happen. And with these aspects, these are strange and unusual aspects where they make you look at the world in a whole new way. So, Mark, how do you see them using that new moon?
Well, that's where I'm hoping for spring. But mm-hmm. I agree with Heather. The small earthquakes are what we hope for.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the little shifts with that. But it does go with spring, because it takes a burst of energy to get things to sprout, to get all the buds to sprout, get all the bulbs to push a plant up, you know. And this kind of a new moon with a lot of cardinal energy in it and all that charged up T-square really has a chance to suddenly turn things into spring.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think certainly in the Northeast we're ready for that.
Yeah. It's been a hard winter.
It's been a real winter.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yes.
Like the winters that we remember.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Someone said, you know, the joke here is for Easter, don't bother coloring your Easter eggs. Just leave them white, hide them in the snow, and no one will ever find them.
I like that. Yeah. Heather, talk to me a little bit about the earthquakes in Yellowstone. I hadn't heard about that. I mean, I'd heard it was
burbling. Yeah, if you can go to the Geological Survey or just go to Yellowstone, and they'll show you the swarms. They have, there are a lot, I mean, February and March was pretty active. Several hundred quakes a day on some of the days.
Wow.
But small little ones that shift. They usually have one a day there, so that's not unexpected. It is a very geologically active part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it always has been, and that's why there's hot springs coming up all over the place and why
right.
they keep shifting.
Right.
That's where Old Faithful comes from.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I didn't realize they had earthquakes out there, too. I knew
all
they
time.
Had gas things.
But this, I mean, the highest they usually get is 3,
mm-hmm.
but it still, you know, has its, keep. If there's, you have enough of those, you feel it.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
one reason there's been problems with the neighbors, because the buffalo keep trying to leave the park.
Really? Okay.
And because
the buffalo know there's something
activity.
Coming. They're like,
yeah,
what?
They know that. They don't like that chicken moving ground.
Right.
Which was interesting. I hadn't put the two together first. I first saw the buffalo were leaving. But
mm-hmm.
also, people are leaving. I mean, I think there's a lot of people being born. With Jupiter in Cancer, the baby rate is shooting up all around me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also seeing this spring, under this aspect, for people with long-term illnesses, I'm seeing them leave. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, we often see that right before the spring comes. We mentioned that one of our astrologer friends, Kelly Lee Phipps, died yesterday. About a year ago, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Brilliant, a very Uranian person. And I met Kelly at Alan Oaken's house, another astrologer, in New Mexico many years ago, and he had a broken leg. And he was talking about, we were sitting around talking about it, you know, what happened to the broken leg. And he said, well, you know, I was in a car accident. It was in a long road in Florida, and, you know, a car hit me. And I was a nice couple, old couple stopped, and they're trying to, like, keep me calm. You know, when I started to come around, they go like, it's okay, son. You've been hit, but you're okay. Just lie still. We've got the police coming. The ambulance is on the way. And I go, what time is it? He goes like, no, son, you don't have to worry about it. You're not going to know. But what time is it? Really, son, you're not going anywhere. Just relax. He said, no, I'm an astrologer. I need to know what time it is. So, and said, you know you're an astrologer when your first response to a dramatic experience.
What time was it?
You go,
right.
What time is it? So I can do the chart.
I can do the chart. I broke my leg. What time is it? Right. Very cute.
And, you know, that's, I think, one of our ways of handling the unknown.
Yes.
Is
mm-hmm.
is
we
if
like
we can
charts.
Map it. And I don't think it's to control it. If I know the symbols, you know, the cure for the difficult end of any symbol, of any astrological symbol, is the positive side. The cure for too much anger can be to go work out, get physical, chop wood, and get tired. It's the positive expression of the same planet.
Right.
And I think that that's one of the joys of working with astrology. It gives us this map that can help us make sense of the pattern and help us work with it.
Mm-hmm. Help us see it in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. and then kind of go, mm-hmm. oh, that's what it means. Yeah. And I think as a tool for, you know, kind of delving into stories, too,
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
you find, you know, when, I mean, I know in my case, going back and looking at charts and figuring out, you know, what they mean in hindsight, or looking back at them and saying, oh, this is what it is. And a lot of times you go back and look at a chart and you see something you never saw before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting tool. You know, I mean, I was away this weekend, and at one point my aunt said to me, she goes, you know, I really wish you wouldn't use astrology on the family. And I kind of looked at her and I went, what?
Yeah.
You know, we'd had some cocktails. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? She goes, well, you know, like you look at everybody's charts. I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. And I'm like, as opposed to what? Like just listing technique? What do you think I'm doing with the charts? And it was a really interesting conversation because it was, you know, are you listening to the person or are you seeing them as their chart? And I was kind of like, well, actually, I do both, you know, but I find
mm-hmm.
the chart helps me understand what in the hell the person's trying to tell me if I don't understand the person myself. But it's an interesting visual because it helps gives us a whole different perspective, you know, on the family that we're born into or we happen to inherit or got married into even. So I find that the gift of it is to say, what is the way you want to use that energy? There's different ways to use it. Yeah.
What's and that pattern?
We always have that choice. Yeah. It's about understanding there's choice within in how we focus on things and how we choose to practice mm-hmm. things. So, or how we choose to look at things. And astrology is a tool for saying, hey, this is a really active, dynamic time. One of my people wrote and said, you know, you keep saying Mars and Libra is, you know, feminine. And I'm like, well, it's a masculine sign. We Libras are masculine. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you're ruled by Venus, who's a feminine. And I'm, you know, I'm doing astrological shorthand in my head. But she goes, well, at least you're not saying we're not going anywhere because Mars is going backwards. And I'm like, although we're not going anywhere because Mars is going backwards. I'm like, I haven't been saying that because we're thinking backwards, you know, because Mars is in an air sign, so we're thinking right now.
We're reviewing.
Yeah. We're not necessarily charging forward. But it's understanding mm-hmm. that there is a reason for everything under the sun, and astrology helps you understand what that reason is or understand
mm-hmm.
how to work with the energy maybe in a different
right.
way.
That's my favorite part
of astrology. And I do agree the new moon in Aries, I always feel like that's when spring starts. So I have a list of things I'm planning on starting this weekend, you know, because it's the spring official launch because the moon's in Aries. So then as far as I'm concerned, I still want to be on vacation even though I'm back and I have to work tomorrow.
It must be until the new moon.
Yeah. Well, I want it to be till the new moon, but it's not. So let's look and see if we have any.
Are there people waiting for us?
We do not have any callers on the line, so we will announce our line and say if anybody
mm-hmm.
wants to call in and ask a question, we're available to answer questions, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And when you call in, if you want us to call in, you press 1, and that gives us a little signal that you want us to call in you, and we will. There is one caller on the line, 212-608, but you don't have your hand raised, so I'm not going to call on you.
And you raise your hand by pressing 1.
And you raise your hand by pressing the number 1. So let's see if 212-608 raises her hand, okay, or his hand, as the case may be. So I'll be watching the switchboard if someone comes in and raises their hand. So forward, I think we can also talk a little bit about the world events, because there's a lot going on in the government. And people keep going, what about Ukraine? What about the plane? I think the plane is the Mercury and Neptune, yes?
Yes, I saw that plane very much as the Mercury and Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mercury was still in an air sign, was an Aquarius when it disappeared.
Yep.
But it was heading into the conjunction with Neptune. And I was thinking that we would see some evidence about it on Friday when Mercury sextiles Pluto, and evidence can sometimes come up from the depths.
Right.
At that point. And it's a good question whether or not we're going to ever know anything about that plane. Sometimes things that happen under Mercury-Neptune are permanent mysteries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm hoping that we will get some evidence because it does feel so painfully hard on the people who don't know.
Right. So the lack of
and the
closure.
Ukraine, I am really worried.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Well, I see that America's chart has the sun at 13 degrees of Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned, we mentioned this a bit last week, and Pluto and Putin's chart has his sun at 13 degrees of Libra. So his sun is right in the crossfire, as is America's sun. One of the things that made me confident that he might have already done his worst is that his when I look at his progressed chart, his progressed moon is in Leo in his 10th house at the moment, and it conjunct Pluto 2 weeks ago, I mean 2 months ago. So that would say to me that he, you know, that he and Russia that stands behind him had been feeling a little wimpy while the progressed moon was in Cancer and before, and really wanted to be visible and big and the old Russian lion that it used to seem like. And when his progressed moon, Leo moon, conjunct Pluto, it was a ruthless expression of power. And now it's separating away from that and moving into, heading into Virgo in 5 months. And when it does, I suspect that domestic problems will start to take up his time again. But that it's been domestically calm enough to help build this momentum. But because everything is so, you know, weird and unexpected right now, this and there is such pressure to make changes. Obama's chart is not caught in the crossfire. It's not getting hit directly at 13 degrees. And he made a beautiful speech today in Belgium that both called for Western leadership of sanctions but diffusing the idea of the impending war that the American rabble-rousers are pushing for.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that very hopeful.
Right.
But I'm worried about it. It just feels so volatile under these aspects.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's a volatile time. Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you think?
Well, the time to be careful of is that really the last half of April, when this whole Grand Cross moves in and we have the eclipses and so on. So my feeling is that the next few weeks, it's not going to be, you know, it'll be a roller coaster, but, you know, I don't see something precipitating, but we have to get through those last 2 weeks of April. And the work ahead of that is to try to bring about some form of balance and, you know, perspective in order to make good decisions.
Cool. All right, let's see if anybody called. Yes, somebody called. Ooh. Actually, 212 raised their hand. Hi, 212, you're on the air.
Hi, Anne, it's Stacy. Welcome home.
Hi. Well, thank you. Thank you. I am home. Yay.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
So anyway, really enjoying your team's thoughts on everything. What I was hoping is, can you talk a little bit about specifically the aspect of Mars with Venus and how on your weekly update, how you had taken it back to the onset of that being in April of last year and maybe some of your thoughts around how that's going into play right now?
How that Mars-Venus aspect goes? Okay. Sure. All righty. We can definitely do that. So what I had spoken about, guys, is Mars and Venus forming an aspect in the sky this week with the trine, and that we go back to the opening conjunction, which was last spring. And so what any planet does when two planets join is we take and put the slower planet, in this case Mars, as the starter, and then Venus then runs around in a circle and forms aspects to him. And it happens with every cycle. So this is a closing trine, or a trine, and then we're going to have the opposition at the end of April. So the aspect runs from a conjunction through an opening square, through a opening trine, through an opposition, through a closing trine, through a closing square. And as it does, each time it forms a relationship with Mars, it says, ah, Mars, hello, so nice to meet you. And the two of them have a little dance. So what we do is we watch the story. We go back to when it started, and we say, gee, what are you guys working on this time? And, of course, the purpose of any transit is to help us understand more why we're here, what we're here to do, and what the purpose of it is. So the idea is we track them to say where they go, and then we start with a conjunction and we go through all the other steps that it goes through. So our job is to kind of track it. So if we watch this, the dance of Mars and Venus this time, the conjunction happened, hang on, let me get it in order, as they join and start their dance. And then when they go through the process of where they are now, they have this connection that continues. And so this is the harvesting of the story that began last spring when they joined. And part of what we do is we say, oh, the harvest, this is good. We want to see a harvest. We want to see the energies take place, but we also want to understand what they're really trying to say to us. So we watch, we track it, and in this capacity then see where we are. So we start with that conjunction that took place in April of 2013, and this, we have three squares last fall, in September and in January and on March 2nd, which were tests of what we were to do. And now we're at the opening trine, which is this week. So that goes back, takes us back to April when they joined at 19 Aries. And we say, ah, the story from last April is now having harvest. In a couple of weeks, we have the opposition in May when Venus and Mars are opposite each other. And interestingly, the trine that they're forming now is going to, the opposition is going to take place at 9 Aries in Libra, which is one of the things I did was I tied it back to the new moon that we're having this week. So the new moon that we have this week, we get the story what Venus and Mars are trying to get together. They're trying a new project as of March 29th, but then, mm-hmm. then they have the new moon, and then they actually, we get to see what comes of it in May, on May 11th, when the opposition happens. Then we have the closing trine in July, where they kind of go, oh, that went really well, or maybe not so great, but let's adjust again. And then in August 27th, we have the closing square, which gives us the ripening and then the release on October 20th of this year. And then we have a new cycle that starts in February 21st of 2015. So the cycle runs about 2 years because Mars is the base of the cycle and Venus dances around him. And so the story that we're doing now is we're watching how the opening from that time last year in April 6th of 2013, how that harvest opens. And so it's about the principle of desire and money and value and how we act to get it. The actions we take, it's, of course, a lot about relationships. A lot of people making decisions about relationships.
Also, yep. Just add some basic relationship
yep.
skills. While Venus is squaring Saturn right now, it's important to use good relationship skills
yep.
and bring your maturity to bear. But that Venus-Mars trine in air signs is one of the most hopeful things that I'm seeing in this spring
mm-hmm.
that really can encourage as long as we're talking, we'll be safe.
Yes.
You know, that encourages the dialogue and the cooperation, that we're seeing a tremendous cooperation of teamwork around both the missing plane and the mudslide,
mm-hmm.
that's part of the air sign trine.
In and
relationships,
around the Ukraine,
it's not
too.
Hyper-romantic,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but it's really good friendship.
Yes.
So build the friendship so you have the allies and the connection to handle whatever comes.
Right, and keep talking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the talking is so important. Mark, anything you want to add before the British lady tells us to go home?
No, I think that's good.
Okay.
We're ready to go.
So Anne Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk. Mark?
And Mark Waltz over by the Hudson River.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Mississippi.
Yeah.
Take care.
Okay. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a great week, folks. Bye. And remember, new moon on Sunday. Rockin' spring.
Okay.